Good morning and welcome to the presentation of TF1 Group's H1 results. The floor is to Nils Paolini. Good morning to all. Thank you for having joined us at this presentation of our results for H1 2014, and we will comment these results together with Philippe Denery before we answer your questions. Now, the first half was marked by a sluggish macroeconomic context and a little growth in France, as you know. Regarding the audiovisual market, the fragmentation of the sector and low demand have brought about pressure on the prices. We have little visibility, and in this highly competitive context, we're still able to achieve high ratings, and the World Cup became not just an incontrovertible event, but we were also able to optimize it in spite of the high price of this operation, which was negotiated almost 10 years ago. This goes to show the soundness of our know-how, but also our ability to continue our work, the work we've undertaken to adapt our model. Let's take a look at the advertising investment on various types of media in H1 2014. Television remains the largest market with 5 billion euros, up 9% since the beginning of the year. Now, this growth is driven by DTT channels, up 19.6%, whereas historical channels are only up 4.1%, and this illustrates the growing competition exercised by DTT channels. While the overall market is up in gross terms, it is down in net terms regarding historical channels in H1 2014 compared to H1 2013. The press runs a close second with 3.6 billion, down 1.4%, which confirms its difficulties. Radio and posting is slightly up in the six first months. The movies are down 2.5%. Let's look at the revenue for free-to-air channels. On this picture, you see the growth of advertising revenue on the four free-to-air channels on a quarterly basis, not including HD1 for the variations between 2013 and 2012. You can see that volumes are up. I can't comment on TMC and NT1 because, of course, till end January 2015, we need, by law, we have separate advertising channels, advertising agencies. But for TF1 and HD1, volumes are up because mostly of HD1. The volumes at TF1 are mostly stable compared at Q2. Regarding advertising revenue, net advertising revenue for the four channels for H1 2014, it's stable at 721 million euros, slightly down -1% in a context of a broadened offer, especially because the six new HD DTT channels have shown up, and there's not much rallying in demand. But although we had the less favorable basis of comparison, the downturn of advertising revenue on the four free-to-air channels is only 2.2%, and that's mostly thanks to the broadcasting of 21 games of the World Cup in 2014. Operationally, we still have high performances, and we've made the most of this non-typical quarter with historical events, elections, and the World Cup. TF1 has its leadership on all targets. Individuals, the audience share is 28.9%, stable compared to H1 2013. Regarding women in charge of purchases, we're slightly down 1.1% to 32.2%, but our competitors are down, except for Canal+, which is gaining audience shares on women in charge of purchases thanks to its new channel, D8. Now, after a first quarter where the programming of competitors was strong and we were more cautious, the audience share of TF1 in Q2 was 29.1% on individuals and 32.3% for women under 50 in charge of purchases, up respectively 2% and 1%. Looking at the flagship channel, TF1 is stable at 22.9% on individuals 4 years or more on the half year. This figure is slightly up compared to the audience share in 2013, which was 22.8%. Programming of H1 was modulated to take into account, of course, the effects of the World Cup. It should be also pointed out that the other star channels, except for France 3 and Arte, are all down compared to on H1, and so therefore TF1 is gaining even more ground on its competitors on individuals 4 years or more, whereas the gap was with M6 was 12.4 points in H1 2013. It's now the gap is now 13 points. Regarding DDT channels, they resist the competition, which are vastly investing in programming and jeopardizing, therefore, their own profitability. And then if you look at the new DDT channels, they're gaining audience shares. HD1 remains the leader of these channels for the individuals 4 years or more, up 4.4 points, even though it's not present on the Canal Plus offer, Canal Sat offer, I beg your pardon. On this slide, you can see the audience share of TF1 23.1%, up 4%, especially because of the World Cup. If you look at monthly audience shares, here we can see the limited effects of our cautiousness in Q1 and our new dynamic performance in Q2. And the performances in June and July in TF1 are even more remarkable. Audience shares 24.6% in June, 24.9% in July, looking at data up to 20 July of this year. And, of course, this is partly due to the success of Secret Story and primetime programs. But, of course, the good performances are not only to do with the World Cup. They are also the results of all our efforts to offer a varied and attractive program. We have more humor, more attitude in our programs, more novelty, and we cover big events and exceptional shows. This strategy has brought about success in all types, in all advertising targets as well. On this first half year, TF1 had an average of 6.1 million viewers in primetime, 90% of leader evenings, and here you see our big brands that have become incontrovertible: The Voice, Les Enfoirés, in terms of entertainment, movies with Bienvenue chez les Ch'tis, which is of course a powerful support, a powerful media, American series very much followed, new heroes such as Person of Interest. You have a French drama with Ce soir je vais tuer l'assassin de mon fils, also Nos Chers Voisins. And then, of course, we have comedy with Canteloup with very high ratings. And so these high ratings are exceptional. We are the only ones in France and indeed in Europe to have such high ratings. This first half year was extremely rich in terms of news. Of course, we had municipal elections in March and European elections in May. We had great ratings there. We're well ahead of France 2, showing that we are clearly ahead in terms of news programming. June was very successful with the commemoration of D-Day, and we had this event called Sacrifice, shown in prime time, bringing 5.7 million viewers. So it's a 24.1% share, audience share on individuals. The French also chose TF1 to see the Bastille Day parade, and so we had an audience share of 37% for individuals 4 years or more. Finally, we had major interviews, Manuel Valls, Prime Minister, Nicolas Sarkozy, former president, and also international personalities, Vladimir Putin and Hillary Clinton, very high ratings again. And so news remains one of the big drivers of our channel. Let's look at the event that, of course, mobilized all our efforts over the past few weeks, the World Cup. We decided to broadcast 28 of the World Cup matches on TF1. The broadcasting rights for other games were sold to beIN Sport, and partnership went extremely well. the quality of this programming and the good performance of the French team enabled TF1 to have exceptional ratings, 16.9 million viewers for the quarterfinals between France and Germany, which was a record not seen since the Rugby World Cup of 2007. On average, World Cup matches brought together 9 million viewers on average, which was not seen since 2006, a year where, and that was good news, when France arrived at the finals. The audience shares, therefore, were very satisfactory. In particular, there was more interest on the part of women viewers. The audience shares was 42% per game for women in charge of purchases compared to 31% in 2010. And, of course, that dashed the hopes of counter-programming on the part of our competitors. Overall ratings, overall audiences for games were up, but likewise for the other events surrounding the matches, the games themselves. You had special features dedicated to football, Le Mag de la Coupe du Monde and Téléfoot. The news programs, the 8 o'clock news, which followed France-Nigeria, brought together 10.8 million viewers, but also special editions, which were also very much followed, the opening ceremony, which for the first time brought together as many as 8.1 million viewers, with so that we have a new clientele interested in the way in which TF1 has addressed this major news event. In 2014, for the first time, the French viewers were able to follow the full World Cup on all media, thanks to the innovations, in particular, of ETF1. MyTF1 enabled viewers to follow games live, but also in replay through summaries, features, or other shows on MyTéléfoot, which was specially designed for the digital media. What is known as second screen enable viewers to become players in the game, choosing their own viewpoint using the multicam devices and get the best views and the best moments of the games. And the number of videos seen on the competition as a whole was 32 million, which is, of course, an extremely high performance. And it was the first World Cup which was really visible on all four screens, all four media, and we enabled our viewers to make the most of that. They really did make the most of it, and many of them, and that could be very promising, many of them discovered the great experience proposed on MyTF1. Now, if you want to take stock, it was a costly operation, very positive operation nonetheless. As you know, in 2005, TF1 got the rights for World Cup 2010-2014. That event was much awaited, much better even performed than in 2010. First, because production costs were less than in 2010, thanks to the optimizing of production resources, while still keeping high quality. But then we had the right couple with the partnership with BN Ford. The audiences of TF1 were maximized, and the two companies were able to reinforce their position on the market. And then the economic fallout of the World Cup, it is very much in line with our expectations, but it had to be a major success in terms of ratings, and there we were able to reach our target, and TF1 strengthened its position as a leader, and the World Cup, of course, gave a unique image to TF1, which, of course, has a positive effect in the minds of advertisers. That the World Cup shows that TF1 is in a position to bring together huge audiences, and this confirmed our position as a leader company, which reaches out to all and is indeed preferred by all viewers. Now, this event was very positive for the channel, but I can confirm that the price takes us back to another period, back when it was negotiated 10 years ago. But let's talk about the other channels, TMC and NT1. The channels did well. TMC resisted competition from its rivals. Audience share 33.2% on individuals, slightly down 0.9%, but the audience share for women in charge of purchases was stable at 3.7%. TMC remains the fifth national channel for evening programs. It is the leader TDT channel on prime time with a very successful series and features. For instance, Hercule Poirot, First Air, brought as many as 1.3 million viewers, and 90-minute investigations had even 1.3 million viewers as well. Just like TMC, NT1 had its audience share slightly down, minus 0.2 points for individuals 4 years on or at 1.9%, but its audience shares for women in charge of purchases was stable at 2.9% in a present context of high competition, which in itself is something of an achievement. NTM1, therefore, is number four for DDT channels for women in charge of purchases. Its best ratings in 2014 was due to the Fantastic Four and the Silver Surfer, which brought in as many as 1.3 million viewers. The ratings of TMC and NT1 were achieved at control costs without falling into the trap of overspending, which our competitors seem to be inclined to. HD1 is the latest channel of the group, started in 2012. It is still growing. It remains the leader in HD DTT. It has an audience share of 0.9% of individuals of 4 years or more, 1.3% of women in charge of purchases. It is the only HD DTT channels with more than 200,000 viewers on average in prime time, and it got its best ratings there with Blood Work with 474,000 viewers. And let me remind you that this was not on the CanalSat offer, unlike its competitors, with the exception of 6TER, I beg your pardon. HD1 shows, therefore, its dynamism and effectiveness of its position for all drama. Its objective is to continue building its offer, and the group, of course, is to have a multi-channel offer. As we said for the World Cup, the digital work is gaining ground. Digital is, of course, the extension of our screens. We are also have a non-real-time broadcasting. MTF1 is, of course, the leader in that. TF1 is the fourth group in terms of time spent on video online. While it's not on YouTube or Dailymotion, and digital is, of course, a way for us to have a better connection with the viewers. A second screen connect enables the viewer to share with their communities, to play live, to look at additional data. Even though June was very dynamic thanks to the World Cup, interactive revenue was slightly down on H1 because there was less programs than in 2013, in particular because there was no Koh Lanta, and NRG Music Awards is now shown in December. Still, we are the favorite of both viewers and advertisers. We are the digital channel par excellence, and we have the most followed participative programs. Now, our performances were particularly high in a number of factors. TF1 Production co-produced 10 movies in H1, where some of them had more than 5 million viewers. We are very proud of Qu'est-ce qu'on a fait au bon Dieu, more than 10 million spectators. It's the best performance in theaters in 2014, and it is one of the 10 greatest successes of French movies. This was in fact co-produced by TF1 Audiovisual Rights, which also includes Dallas Buyers Club, which had 3 Oscars this year. So it goes, it shows the talent of our artistic teams. But regarding TV production, TF1 Production continues its development. We have a highly creative, highly experienced team that enables TF1 Production to have a growing volume of programs on all 4 free-to-air channels in all types. The World Cup, of course, was produced in high quality conditions, both in terms of price and quality. Our consumer services did well in H1. TF1 Video, for a number of years now, is suffering from a downturn in the non-virtual video, but TF1 Video still outperforms the VOD market, and MyTF1 VOD is the second VOD platform after Orange. We remain cautious in our editorial choices, as you know. TLA Shopping, was down in H1, but this is because of the basis of comparison in 2013, where we had Place des Tendances, which were sold at the end of 2013. But if you don't, on a like-for-like basis, we are up thanks to more orders and more physical, that is, more actual shops. And so we have operational performances. TF1 Enterprise also has good success with music and exhibitions, in particular with the show called Star Wars Identities, which brought in 250,000 visitors and which will be extended till October. The high performance programs such as The Voice bring in new viewers for the license operations or shows such as The Voice Tour. So we do extremely well. Likewise, the collections such as Tintin and Barba Papa sell well, not just in France, but overseas as well. Let's look at pay TV, which have suffered from the economic context and competition from DTT channels. But because of the effort in terms of costs, the channels have been making new original programs, renegotiated their contracts at the end of the year, so we have more event-driven programs as commemorations of D-Day, but also the broadcasting of new shows, thanks to our partnership with Discovery, on Ushuaia, for instance, but also on the History Channel. Regarding RCI, we're still waiting for the decision of the authority regarding the new status. We asked for it to be free to air. We'll, once the decision is made, we'll comment on that. Finally, in April, we announced the closing of TF6, which was held 50-50 with M6. The lower income offered by Canal Plus and lower advertising revenue simply did not make this channel profitable, so we drew the lessons of that. We drew the consequences of that. Série Club continues, but now it is for M6 to run the show. Eurosport France is now renegotiating its status. Let me remind you that at Q1 on 1st January 2015, Discovery will be running Eurosport France. Now, to conclude this presentation of the quarter, let me mention four remarkable initiatives were taken by the group in terms of corporate social responsibility. First, the signing of the charter on the employment of handicapped people in the audiovisual industry. We have a three-year agreement. We also have an external counseling unit. We have RSE Media, which is on corporate social responsibility. It's run by TF1, but brings together all media organizations and has published its first report. And TF1 now has its own ethics and corporate social responsibility with three women administrators, two of which do not work for TF1, and this committee will make sure that the ethics code is properly abided by. Now, all the initiatives taken in this field confirm TF1's discretionary and proactive attitude since 2008 vis-à-vis its own partners or other partners in this industry or other industries. All in all, you can see that the first half of the year confirmed our leadership position. It showed that all our activities are sound, our operational and innovative capacities of our teams in what is, after all, a tight economic context. Now, I'll give the floor to Philippe Denery, who will give you the financial results.
Thank you, Nors. Good morning. I'm going to be presenting the consolidated accounts for TF1 as of 30th of June. All of the details are in the annex, which you can find in the half-yearly report, and obviously you can find them on our website. Consolidated revenue for H1 2014 is 1.025.7 billion versus 1.019.7 billion, i.e. up 0.6% year-on-year. The broadcasting and content revenue is up 2.3%, 866.1 million. Broadcasting 802.4 million euro, down 1.5% as of June. This is due to the drop in advertising on the free-to-air channels that Nance addressed. Content is sharply up, 63.7 million euros, including 30 million euros from FIFA World Cup 2014, the sale of rights to beIN Sports. Business is still still buoyant in this area in H1 2014 with some very promising theatre releases. Consumer services down 8.9%, 91.6 million. TF1 video revenue strongly down, 20.5 million. This activity is suffering from a very difficult market, in particular with competition from illegal offerings. Teleshopping slightly down, 47.7 million euros, as Nantes indicated. Teleshopping in Q4 sold Place des Tendances. This is a specialized internet site. But apart from that, it is quite clear that the endeavors to renew our product mix are starting to bear fruit. TF1 Entreprise have been doing very well, good positioning in entertainment, music and publishing, and its revenue is up 4.9% for H1, 23.4 million euros. Revenue for the pay TV sector is down 7.6% for H1 2014, due essentially to a drop in advertising revenue. The ad market on pay TV in France is still under heavy competition from the DTT channels. I shall address that later on. Now, advertising revenue for Group TF1. First of all, broadcasting and content, 762.3 million euros. It comprises the advertising revenue for the four free-to-air channels, 721.1 million euros, down 1%, stable in H1, minus 2.2% in Q2, including the positive effect of the World Cup and a less favorable basis for comparison. Advertising revenue for the other media is down 1.9%, due essentially to the fact that third-party transactions have not sufficiently offset the drop in advertising business for Metro France, which is trying to survive in a complicated market. The advertising revenue for the pay TV offering is 7.6 million euros in H1 in 2014, down 36.1% year-on-year. Theme channels in France are suffering from a diminishing advertising market, and also for increasing competition from the free-to-air offerings. In all, advertising revenue for the group for H1 2014 is 769.9 million euros, down 1.6% relative to H1 2013. The downturn was 0.4% for Q1, minus 2.6% for Q2. Once again, we were coming from a more unfavorable position comparably, minus 13% in Q1 2013, minus 5% in Q2. The non-advertising revenue is up 7.8% at the end of June, with the due essentially to the increase in content revenue, which I've already mentioned. Cost of programming for the four free-to-air channels up 512.6 million euros, totaling 512 million euros, up 21 million over the previous year. We successfully broadcast 21 World Cup matches in the course of Q2, total cost 55.7 million euros. However, apart from sporting events, the cost of programming for H1 was 456.9 million euros, a saving of 34 million euros. The main savings are obviously due to the programs that were replaced by football matches, totaling 11.8 million. The rest comes from films and drama. We broadcast fewer films than last year in primetime and third evening slot. On the consolidated P&L, I shall not discuss consolidated revenue and the cost of programming, which I've already mentioned. The non-programming expenditure as of end of June were 488.9 million euros, up 0.7%, 3.3 million euros. This includes 60 million representing the FIFA rights for resale. For H1, the current operational income for the group is accordingly 24.2 million euros, down 18.4 million. Once again, this includes 55.5 million euros resulting from FIFA, which obviously are affecting the group's profitability. So the operating margin, current operation margin is therefore down by 2.4% over H1. The optimization of the business model, we are continuing to implement phase two of the plan after 4 million saved in Q1. We achieved a 6 million saving, 3 million for productivity, 3 million cost of programming. At end of 2014, or by the end of June, 2014, we've already generated 66 million in savings. We confirm our commitment to finalize phase two of the optimization plan with 19 million further savings to achieve, including 7 million on cost of programming for TF1 and 12 million for productivity gains. So in other words, the optimizing the model is still a key priority. Now, the breakdown of the current operating income for H1. First of all, broadcasting and content down 17.1 million, totaling 11.5 million. The drop in profitability of broadcasting, due essentially to the World Cup, is only partially offset by the excellent performance of the content business, and in particular the successful theatre releases in H1, which Nons already mentioned. The resale of World Cup rights has not impacted current operating income for Q2, since the sales loss was provisioned for over the two previous quarters. Current income for consumer services is up 2.2 million. This the improved income of teleshopping at TF1 Entreprise has to some extent offset the drop in TF1 video. Cost of indebtedness is in fact an item of income, 0.4 million, because we have a positive cash position. Other income and expenditure are stable, plus 0.2 million euros, and the tax line 9.7 million euros for this half year. The share of associates up 2.4 million euros. It includes 49% for the net income of Eurosport International for June 2014. Eurosport International is still performing very well in H1. Following the application of IFRS 11, it also includes the share of net income for TF6 and Serie Club, which used to be subject to proportionate consolidation. Like the pay channels in the group, T6 and Serie Club are now being affected by competition from the DTT channels on the advertising market. Net income from continuing activities, 17.1 million, down 14.1. The net income from discontinued or held for sale activities, up 292 million euros. It comprises 293.8 net capital gains following the disposal of Eurosport to Discovery in May, and the net income from Eurosport International from January through May, 16.4. So total 327.3 million as of June 2014. The share of net income due to non-controlling interests is 4.1 million euros, stable year on year. This is due to the 20% holding in Discovery Communications in four theme channels within TF1. Also includes the share of net income of Eurosport International, which now falls to Discovery. Balance sheet still solid, and the main variances are related to the Eurosport operation. Since the takeover of Eurosport International by Discovery on 30th May 2014, the company is no longer booked under assets and liabilities held for disposal, but in holdings in associates as a non-current asset. Current assets also up due to the positive cash position I mentioned earlier on. Equity. The changes in equity reflect the Discovery operation and the restatement of the 20% which used to be held by Discovery within Eurosport International, plus the group's own equity changes, up 2.9 million. This 2.9 million increase in equity includes the income from Eurosport International for the five-month period through May, plus the capital gains on disposal and the payout of the dividend in April. Increase in current liabilities reflects the seasonal nature of advertising revenue, essentially. This is a familiar phenomenon in our June financials. The net cash position, 425.1 million euros, up 236.2 year-on-year, relative to December, sorry. This includes the 31% Eurosport International, the dividend payout, and the balance after the capital decrease, the capital reduction for AB Group. This positive cash position, need I mention, is obviously good news for the group in the current delicate economic situation. Consolidated cash flow statement now. On the investment-related operations, you'll find a figure of 308 million, up considerably. For the reasons I mentioned, the cash flow is slightly down, 9.2 million. This is due to the reduction in net income. Thank you very much for your attention, and I'm now going to ask Nance to continue with the outlook.
Thank you, Philip, for this review of our accounts. Regarding our view of the present situation, we have to distinguish between the immediate short-term and the long-term. Regarding the short-term, well, we have to face the following situation. On the one hand, we have unfavorable cyclical developments which we have no control over. First of all, the French economy, which remains sluggish, and advertisers have remained cautious in their advertising investment. And then, more specifically on our market, we find that there's more volumes, an explosion of volumes with the DTT micro channels that are selling ratings at a low price, and so we have a situation where there's more supply than demand. Well, you know all about this. Now, we do have a number of positive assets. We have a very positive lineup for the next season. We have constant innovation, especially in digital, as was shown by the World Cup. That remains a priority. Regarding programming, H1 was built with a view to maintaining our ratings overall, using, of course, the World Cup as a major asset. That was a cautious strategy that proved to be in line with our expectations in terms of ratings. However, for the new season, we have a highly aggressive lineup with the very popular brands, and the powerful programs will help TF1's vitality. We have U.S. series such as Blacklist, the French drama with Profilage of Famille Formidable, entertaining with Danse avec les Stars, Voice Kids, and then, of course, Koh-Lanta, very much awaited return. On its side, TMC has started to reposition its channel and its programs with a revamped channel as of program as of February 2015. And NT1 must continue its good performances but keep its programming costs down. HD1 remained the HD DTT channel with the editorial. It's a very original editorial policy, which was attractive both to viewers and advertisers. Now, on the digital media, we have four priorities which you know all about. Number one is to consolidate our position as leader on the multi-screen video media. We want to heighten value in our video offer through this multi-platform distribution. We want to enhance the user's experience using state-of-the-art technology, and we want to make the most that we can in terms of profitability using this new technology. But of course, we have to keep costs down and optimize the model, and we are all mobilized to save the additional 19 million euros planned for H2. But of course, the stages one and two of this cost-saving plan is a huge effort. It's unique in the history of TF1, and that certainly changed the attitudes in all our staff. Now, in the short term, we will have new initiatives to make TF1 the number one target for advertising brands and make the most, of course, of the recovery when that happens. But for the future, we do have a huge asset, our ability to perform all our activities from core business. Of course, we are unique there, but also our peripheral activities, including, of course, the digital media. Now, of course, we want to lean on our strong market position with high ratings. We use our leadership position on free-to-air channels, but this virtuous cycle between real-time TV and digital TV enables us to continue our efforts on all four media, and we work with our advertisers to optimize results using the different offers. And of course, adaptation is part and parcel of our daily job. Indeed, it is part of our DNA. Regarding regulation, well, we have more and more contacts with our partners, the producers and authors, but also with the authorities. And the authorities are listening now to our concerns. Recently, we came up with a plan we submitted to the Minister of Culture to add flexibility to the anti-concentration provisions that hamper our development. And we want to rebalance the position between producers and broadcasters in terms of ownership rights. We are a sad exception to the rule, not in cultural terms, in industrial terms. We see the limitations of this now. We have higher and higher taxes that, of course, are a major hindrance to our profits. In the past, with growing advertising revenue, this was much concealed, but this is no longer the case. And now with Netflix coming up, Netflix is like a wake-up call for all our partners, that we have to be optimistic because there's now awareness of this, and the authority have just reduced TF1's obligation since its privatization. Instead of having 1,000 hours of programming for children, it's now only 750, and NT1 has 150 of that, and that's in line with its own plan. So this is a very positive sign of the new economic regulation of the authority under the impulse of Chairman Chamek, who also took on board the fact that the school year has a new timeline. And then we are mobilized on new projects and new opportunities as well as challenges. Of course, we want to optimize our economic model for our core business, and that is means having the right equation between ratings, the cost of programming, and profitability. And our competitors are investing a lot, but we don't get the feeling that the investment has profitability in mind as part of the equation, which is not the case for us, of course. We want to develop a multi-channel offer, and as of 27 January 2015, we'll have a new step ahead, which will make the most, of course, of the new legal framework. The future of LCI, we talked about Metro News is in the balance. Clearly, the economic, the business models must change, and then we have to look at the new challenge and the new opportunities that come from the technology. We have internal as well as external growth, but of course we have to look at content and digital opportunities. Now, there are still many challenges, many possibilities for optimization. We are in a fighting mode and fighting spirit, but we'll talk about that in the months to come. And now, Philip and I can take all your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please dial 0 and 1 on your telephone keypad. Thank you.
Good morning, and thanks for the presentation. A few questions. You talked about one-offs, an unfavorable short-term position. What is the advertising market outlook over the next 6 months? Second question, TMC and NT1 are to be consolidated. What could you give us an idea of the possible synergies you hope to generate in terms of revenue or in terms of group share? And lastly, you mentioned the regulatory situation and your contacts with the watchdog. Could you expand on those talks and what the subjects are? Are you talking just about production or also other issues, for instance, concentration, and what response you're expecting from the regulator? Well, good morning, and thanks for your three questions. On the one-offs, for the moment, there is an improvement in the trend, but the trend is a bit sluggish for H1. For H2, looking forward, things are going to remain extremely volatile. However, relative to Europe, France is a very special case on the ad market. There are European countries where there has been a revival of interest in advertising. I don't have to name any names, you know them. And France is paying the price of its ailing economy. So this is something temporary. Nothing, unfortunately, is changing on that scene. There is no clear improvement to expect. We are managing this on a day-to-day basis. We're quite used to doing this, and we feel reasonably sanguine. Now, as to the synergies from the future merge, well, for the moment, the separation in advertising departments is complete, and we're looking at the best possible way of organizing this. We have a few working assumptions. You will understand that I don't want to discuss them in any greater detail because it's simply not possible to do so. There is a lot of quite concrete things happening as of January 2015. The bottom line is that this will be an opportunity. We're going to leverage it, and this will be reflected in our programming strategy, even though today there are synergies of our industry, of our inventory by TMC NT1. But here we'll have a multi-channel strategy, which we could not develop thus far, unlike some of our competitors. So be aware that we are still suffering from that handicap in terms of both programming and our commercial activities have made it rather difficult for us to do better in advertising. You mentioned the regulatory situation, and your bullet points, if I can take them in turn. First of all, anti-concentration. This is there's a very great vertical or horizontal integration issue afoot in France right now, and the government are being asked to try and make progress here. It happens that we are one of the few countries in the world where groups like ours are unable to expand any further in their respective business lines, production or other. And there are barriers we are facing, and we are going to continue addressing this with the authorities. As producers and broadcasters, obviously, you're very familiar with the situation. French drama is fully funded and virtually, therefore, no income to be expected. Now, the legislation on co-productions has changed. This is a significant change. I mentioned at the beginning that for the 1,000 hours of youth programs, discussions are underway. So there is awareness. The arrival of Netflix is good news because M6 rammed the contradictions in the French legislation home in very blunt terms, which is good news. So all of this is on the table with the CSA, and the government, they are aware that things have to change. Thank you.
I have a question from Giraud Godin from Natixis. Hello, I have three questions. Number one, regarding the use of cash, have you given it more thought? And when will you tell us about that? Another question about what you said on savings in production costs with the World Cup. Could you give us details? You said it was less expensive than in 2010. So what, I mean, can you have recurrent savings on other sporting events, the Euro in 2016, Championships in 2015? So we'd like to know more about that. And the third question is possible deals with the Time Warner Fox in the U.S. because the U.S. studios are major partners for you. Major suppliers of programs. You are a partner of one of them. Would like to know more about the new situation. Does this possible merger, is that a risk or an opportunity for you? Well then, regarding the use of our cash, well, we've always said that eventually there will be a cash return to shareholders. That stands to reason, but part of the cash must be kept for the development of the channel. There is nothing new in this respect, but of course a major priority is to ensure that our investors get some of it. Regarding savings in production costs, well, we are comparing 2014 with 2010. 2010 was in South Africa. Now, for the Rugby World Cup, this is a completely different situation because the Rugby World Cup will take place in Britain rather than Brazil. So, like, link-up costs will be down, transportation costs will be much less, even accommodations will be much less expensive than in Brazil. Now, even though the World Cup is over a lengthy period of time, here we're looking at we're much closer geographically. So we're not talking about hundreds of millions of euros being saved, but every item of expenditure was closely scrutinized, and that's all I can say. We will be very careful about that. And let me also point out that for broadcasts of the French team games, we were able to break even. At least we are in a position now not only to look at our budgets but to bring costs down. So we should remember that, again, for the Rugby World Cup, again, this is not Brazil, it's Britain. It makes a huge difference. Now then, regarding the Time Warner Fox merger, well, we don't know whether there will be a merger or not. One thing I can tell you is that we have, of course, preferential relations with Time Warner. We have an excellent contract with them. And even that, I don't see why this should make much of a difference in terms of Time Warner's strategy vis-à-vis TF1. We are a historical partner, historic partner. I don't see why there should be a problem. Thank you very much.
Konroshi, yours. I too have three questions. First, profitability. And in particular, consumer services. You mentioned we all observed the volatility from one half year to the next. What are your expectations for the second half of the year? On content, the World Cup, you mentioned successful theatre releases. Do you expect this to continue into the second half year? Secondly, on savings, on the cost of programming for H1, I think you were considering reinvesting those savings in the course of H2. And the fact that the ad market is bearish, does that make any difference to your thinking? And are you perhaps going to set aside a larger part than originally scheduled of your tactical savings. And next, on the percentage of content denominated in dollars, could we have an idea?
For the profitability of consumer services for H2, we believe that the trends will be continuing from Q2. Different trends between teleshopping and TF1 Entreprise. These two items are doing well, improving their profitability. Video is a bit, it should see its profitability improve because of its lineup, but its business model is different. Regarding contents, H1 was very, very strong, of course. Regarding revenue in content, well, we don't just sell the, well, we have the audiovisual rights of the World Cup, so in terms of revenue, that meant that revenue was significantly up, but of course, the revenue to profit ratio was down. But still, we also produced a number of movies, and that improved profitability. We shouldn't be able to repeat the performance because we can't get a 10 million box office hit year every 6 months. That's for the consumer services. Regarding investments for the second part of the year, we are not going to reinvest always in the same way. I mean, in H1, we had expectations in terms of ratings because of the World Cup. Likewise, advertising revenue. So the second half of the year, I mean, we do keep our objectives in terms of cost reductions, and in this respect, we're all mobilized to do just that. Programs for H2 will be more standard as regards TF1's content, but we do want to keep our production costs down. But let me also point out that our competitors are investing heavily in content. We are not going to fall into that trap of buying ratings at all costs. We do have a fine lineup for the next season. The programs are highly attractive. We have very popular franchises and brands that should bring in excellent ratings. Regarding contents purchased in dollars, what we pay out in dollars, it's about 3% of the content is in fact denominated in US dollars, so it's not a significant amount. Thank you.
Jean-Baptiste Sergent. Good morning. Question on LCI. I was present at the CSA hearings, and it seems to me you didn't announce the cumulative loss before break-even. Break-even is supposed to come in 2015 if you go on free-to-air. What would be... it was 30 million, I think, for Paris Première up till 2018, but could you confirm that? And second question on LCI, would it be an acceptable condition to have separate advertising departments for LCI? Well, thank you. On cumulative losses, I don't know what other channels have been saying, but what we all know is that the first year obviously yields a loss of revenue. We are thinking about both editorial issues and costs. 2019 is one potential horizon. There could be others. For the moment, we until such time as we have a decision handed down by CSA, anything could mean anything. Now, the watchdog has not made any demand of the type you mentioned. So there is no particular constraint as regards separating advertising activities. It is possible, it is not mandatory. As of today, we have met all of the commitments we made to the authorities, and there is no reason that the five-year period should not wind up as originally intended. Thank you. And if there were a refusal of the free-to-air, would there be any alternatives, for instance, a buyout? No comment. For the moment, it's science fiction.
Question from Isabelle Repiteau from Electron Libre. Yes, again about LCI. Should the authority refuse the LCI free-to-air status, are you going to close down the channel, and when?
I really have nothing to add to my answer to the previous question. We have a decision coming from CSA next week, and we shall live with that when it comes next week.
Will it be this year, or when we...
Nothing to add.
A new question from Jérôme Baudin. I have two follow-up questions, if I may, regarding regulation. You said that there would be new thresholds in the anti-concentration legislation. There are several such thresholds. Are you only referring to film production, or are you looking at the three media rule? And then if the investment obligations can be, if you can get them to change the regulation this year, when can you feel the results into the consequences in terms of the income statement? I mean, there's always a time gap between the moment the contracts are signed and the moment the costs are cut. How long will it take?
Thresholds. Both, I mean, both could apply to production. Once again, we're not in the business of buying up production companies at whatever cost, but there are French players on the market today who have a significant share of the market and who could possibly join forces with us, and we're not in a position where a successful production company would have to open up to foreign investment simply because we are not in a position to invest. And as to the two-thirds rule, this was a limitation which is not particularly disabling to us today. There are... I mean, once again, it's not priority. It is important for the authorities to be on board because there are big media groups that have developed around us and who have become significant players. As to an obligation to invest, once again, we're not in the business of reducing French drama on TF1. We have found new ideas, creative ideas, which have made a great difference to the bottom line for drama. Our problem today is that we're spending rather than investing. I'm always happy to invest in drama, in products that I can then run out year after year, rather than living with today's system. There is also the question of taxes, which is I think we would do well to give thought to the way in which rights and taxes are used. So, as we saw with the 2009 agreement, we're now starting. That is now starting to bear fruit. We're not going to see any concrete impact on the financials of the company for at least a year and a half. Obviously, if the rules were to change, the rules of the game, many things would change.
A questions. In that case, well, thank you so very much for all these questions. Let me add something by way of conclusion all the same. Needless to say, I should like to reiterate my full confidence in the work of our teams. It has to be recognized that the present state of economic affairs is not rosy. The markets have changed in an unfavorable way. The supply is up, volumes are up, and there's more competition. All the same, TF1 remains extremely sound on its basis, both in terms for its flagship channel, but the other channels as well. On the digital front, we're making headway, and the World Cup was a major event to draw in new audiences on these new platforms. We have to make the most of these new opportunities, and we have great ideas to do just that. Nonetheless, this is a constant struggle. Regulation is a constant headache, and the victory we achieved on the number of hours for children's program, that was a major success we can only be pleased with. Needless to say, French television is in the doldrums, unlike other industries that are picking up. But what has been found is that things are looking up on digital and for television in particular. So we are confident we can stay our course. We've saved plenty of money. We have plans to save an additional 35 million for a total 85 million recurrent savings. So, of course, in a unfavorable context, of course, there's not much you can do. But to compare with a storm at sea, the main thing is for the boat to remain afloat. And in spite of it all, we are being more inventive in terms of programs, in terms of content. And so the economic context should not hide the fact that we are a sound business model, because we combine traditional television, digital television, and additional businesses that come to strengthen our core business. Of course, we have to be very stringent in the operation of a core business. We have to be inventive in new areas, including, of course, consumer services. But in all these areas, our company can look positively to the future. This is what I had to say. Thank you once again for having attended this call. And enjoy the summer. We'll look forward to seeing you in the fall. Ladies and gentlemen, this completes this conference call. You may now put the phone down.